I'm just a lonely zombie. I'm just a lonely zombie in this hallway, wishing I could eat some brains, some brains. I'm just a lonely zombie.
Welcome to Jill's Moves and Junk. I'm Notorious J.M.
And I'm Megan.
And Julian's not in today, but you know what? It's fine. He'll be back pretty soon. All right, moving on from that. Today we're going to actually review World War Z. Now, what drove you to want to watch this movie?
Brad Pitt.
Really?
Just kidding. I like zombies. Well, I don't like zombies. I like apocalyptic-themed movies. And so zombies are a really popular theme now in general. And so someone said it was good. And I'm like, maybe it is good. Let me check it out.
Okay. There's a lot of history with this movie that I was looking into. Of course, it's based upon a book. And a lot of people complain that it's not like the book. But I've never read the book, so I can't really compare the two. But I know for a fact that the book follows a different format than the movie does. And I guess it's fine, because if they would have filmed it like the book, it would have been more episodic, I guess.
Well, I mean, there's very few books that you actually can adapt the movie and make it like exactly the same way as the book. It's kind of cool if you can do that, but sometimes I think directors can actually take it to a different and better direction. So maybe that's what happened here. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know. I think it's so different that I have no idea how it would have turned out if it did just like the book, but the direction they took it in is pretty fine. I don't mind the direction they took it in. But I do think that having it as a PG-13 zombie movie did kind of hurt it a little.
Why?
Actually, well, I'll get to that later. But basically, I do think it holds it back a little. When you're actually going with a zombie movie, they have to find a way around it, which I'll get into.
Okay.
But, yeah, tell me about your first impressions, seeing the trailers and seeing the commercials or TV spots and all.
I think that the trailers were totally different than the movie, because the trailers I've seen, I didn't see any zombies, and I actually didn't even know that there were zombies involved, even though it's World War Z. And so I knew it was like a lot of action, but I really didn't get any details and any really plot lines from the trailer. So with that being said, I really liked the movie.
I can actually say, like, now I look back at it, not knowing anything about the book, I mean, I knew about the book, but if I would have not known anything about the book, yeah, you wouldn't tell it was a zombie movie. Mm-hmm. They don't clearly show zombies. Yeah, I have no idea what's really going on. And getting into it, they're not really officially zombies in this movie. They're kind of, but not really. It's their way around it. Like I said, the PG-13 aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. But they did call them zombies.
They do call them zombies, but you know, it's not exactly the same. We call them something one thing, it doesn't mean it is that thing.
That's true, but everyone, I think, thinks that they're zombies.
Yeah.
So, I think that for the sake of conversation, I think they should be zombies. But you think there's something else?
Well, the movie actually reminded me a lot of 28 Days Later. It felt more like that. Have you ever seen 28 Days Later?
I probably. Did they all end up at the mall?
No, that's a totally different movie.
Okay, that movie I like. I like that one.
They were zombies in that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Well, 28 Days Later, just to get into it real quick, it was a movie based upon people being infected. They weren't officially zombies, they were infected. And they were passing around a virus. And it was some kind of rage virus, which they go crazy and rap. Kind of like rabies, basically. And this movie kind of has kind of.
Well, they called it rabies. I think in the beginning of the movie, they had someone, either a news part cast or something, they threw around the word rabies.
Yeah, so because they want to link it more towards a virus than actually, you know, the dead are walking. But they're kind of saying the dead are sort of walking, but it's not the same. They're very vague on their description of what they consider to be a zombie.
Well, I mean, we do have to remember zombies don't exist. Yeah. So, even though we kind of think they do and we talk as if they do, they're technically not real.
Well, if you go back to the voodoo days and them casting spells to bring the dead back to life and to do their bidding and all. If you go down to that, they were referred to as zombies, you know, the dead actually walking.
Okay, I have to refresh my voodoo history.
Yeah, you know, I'm all into voodoo. But, that's what they called it back in the day. That's basically what shaped what we consider to be zombies to this very day, the dead walking. And I'm not quite sure if that's the case with this or not.
No, they definitely have like a medical, like, there's like a medical reason why people are doing it. They really do come from a point of this is some sort of plague or some sort of infectious disease like SARS or like, you know, bird flu and all that kind of stuff. So there's definitely that aspect to it, which actually makes it, that part makes it more scary than actual zombies, because it has happened before in the past and it can happen for some virus to just get out of hand. So
yeah, it feels like they really want to go this is a zombie apocalypse, because, you know, World War Z, the book, was based upon actual real zombies, like, you know, the dead walking. And they're touching on that subject because there's a movie based upon it, you know, loosely based upon it, but they're trying not to really show people brutally being eaten because it's a PG-13 film.
But there still are some very
graphic and
explicit, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Parts in the movie.
It was, but yeah, there was no flesh eating. It was more of they bite you and that's it. Whereas they're just trying to bite you.
Yeah, they didn't like camera pan and focus and zoom in on like arms, flesh coming out. And
there's no flesh. And they're not trying to eat your guts or anything. It's just they bite you and then they go about their business. That's all they wanted.
Feels like people turn really quickly.
Yeah.
This film.
That's nothing we didn't touch on. They do turn extremely quick versus like traditional zombies.
Like, it took me a minute to realize like why Brad Pitt kept counting for 8 seconds. And because, yeah, I don't know, I guess it's not really a spoiler because it happens so quick in the movie. Doesn't
we'll get to it later, like the more spoiler territory. Yeah, we'll get to that.
I guess so. It's a spoiler for them because it's something they have to discover.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll get to the spoiler part of the show later on. But yeah, that's the biggest thing for me is they're trying to show these are zombies, but they're not zombies. They're infected, so they don't feel the need to eat anyone. They just want to spread the virus. So that's very more like an infected person, kind of like 28 days later. But they won't die if you shoot them in the body. You have to do a headshot like a zombie. And that's what confuses me. Because they're saying they're not the Walking Dead officially, but the Walking Dead rules still apply to them.
Yeah, it's almost as if these zombies, or whatever, I guess we'll call them zombies for a second.
That's what they're calling them, so we can't
get around. They're like zombie on steroids. Too. Yeah. They were like weird. So they do have the medical part because it spread really quickly, like exponentially, whatever, from like wherever Ground Zero was to like all over the world, which is reminiscent of an actual disease, a pathogen. But they're still like zombies, so you have to shoot them in the head and stuff.
So yeah, so it's kind of like,
it's like, you know, a both mix.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't stick with one thing. I think it was simply they wanted to make a zombie movie based upon a media that was released about zombies, but they just didn't want to deal with the aspect of actually dealing with zombies because it makes it hard for a PG-13 film to actually deal with zombies.
And also, I mean, the characters really didn't know who or what they were dealing with. They were really discovering it really from the beginning of the movie and throughout the movie. So that's kind of a real interesting part of the movie, is that we're on the same journey as Brad Pitt and everyone else trying to figure out what's happening.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the movie, everything goes to hell and it's just
very quickly. Yeah. That's what I was surprised by. I thought it would be more like, oh, this is the idyllic home life and they're helping with homework and she went to the grocery store and this is their daily life. And then you contrast that with Zombie Apocalypse, but like, no, it was like quick.
Yeah, it was like, oh,
we're like, we're cutting all that. We're just going straight to it.
It's like, oh, we're eating breakfast. Oh, we're doing this zombie thing now. Fuck. Yeah. Escalated quickly. We're straight into it.
It did, but it was, I liked that part of it, though. I thought it was different because I didn't expect that. I expected it to be more slow.
Wasn't like, you know, wake up in the morning, the kids have breakfast, on the way to school, fucking zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah, no time for anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But, just to get into it, what do you rate this film?
Oh, it's so hard for me to rate this film because I felt it was good, but it wasn't great. But it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It was entertaining, but it could have been more.
Yeah.
So maybe that puts it as a 4 for me.
A 4?
Yeah. A 4. I'm going to stick with a 4. I'm going to go down to a 3. Let me think. No, it's a 4.
4? I'm actually giving this a solid 3.
Okay.
I've seen plenty of zombie movies and zombie media. And, of course, we're both fans of The Walking Dead, which is what most people normally go to nowadays because, you know, they actually revived zombies for everyone.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, for the mainstream. But it just didn't have everything it needed to have to be a solid zombie movie or outbreak movie. It just felt like it was, It felt like it was just trying to be both and trying to be in the middle. And I think the PG-13 rating, because they did film it with a PG-13 rating in mind, and it's just, I think it really hurt the film.
Maybe. I think I gave it a 4 because I felt it was entertaining from beginning to end. I didn't get bored with it. I wasn't like, yeah, okay, is this, when will this scene end? So I found it entertaining. I really wasn't distracted by, like, is it a zombie movie? Is it just an outbreak movie? Because I felt like what caught me was, like, the journey of Brad Pitt trying to go save the world, if you will. But not, like, in a facetious. I can't say it.
Don't ask me.
Let me pick another word. It wasn't like a really superficial, like dumbing down way of saving the world.
Yeah.
It was more like, oh, of course he has to help save the world. It's going to shit right now. And it felt like it made sense. So his journey made sense to me. And so I think that's why I gave it a 4 and not like a 3, because I connected with his character. Like, I understood what he was trying to do and I wanted him to succeed.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't give it a 3, because I did feel a connection with the character, with his character, at least in his journey. And I wanted to see how things were going to go. So it did keep my attention enough to where I'm not going to give it a 3. I'd give it a 4. I stand by my 4.
Believe it or not, the reason why I'm giving it a 3 has nothing to do with the story at all. Or like the acting and all. It's little things I didn't like about the film itself. But, you know, as far as the story goes, the story did make a lot of sense. The reasoning why he's doing things made sense. I originally thought for the trailer would have been a situation of he's trying to help save his family. Now he's joining the military to help them for whatever, God knows what reason.
Mm-hmm.
Some bullshit reason. But the reasoning behind it they give him is pretty good. It makes sense. It's a solid reason for him to get out there and actually try to solve what's going on in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So I really did like that a lot as well. I liked how certain things were really fleshed out. But it was little things I didn't like. Like, to get into it, it's not spoiler territory. What is up with most movies nowadays being filmed with someone with Parkinson's? Have you noticed that?
What?
Like, it feels like the cameraman has Parkinson's. Like, most movies nowadays is just shaky cam.
Oh my god.
Have you noticed that?
Like, most movies... There were parts where I was just like, wait a minute, am I supposed to actually see what's happening in this scene, or am I just gonna glaze over like what just happened? I felt that way.
Yeah, shaky cam has just become something that's really dominant in action movies. It's been that way since, I can say, probably The Bourne Identity. It could probably go before that. I can actually say maybe, perhaps it went before that. Like, they may have made movies with shaky cam that I was unaware of, but I know for a fact that The Bourne Identity actually really brought in the whole, like, let's film a fight scene and choreograph the fuck out of it, but let's shake the fuck out of the camera where you can't see what's happening to make it more intense.
Yeah, I guess looking back onto the film, there were parts, like I said, where I'm like, am I actually supposed to know what's happening in this scene, or am I just supposed to just go along with the ride of the camera? So, yeah, I mean, Yeah, I kind of felt, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, I gotta say you gave it a 4 because you enjoyed the movie, but for me, it's something I've already grown tired of, the shaky cam. Now, I can't actually fault the movie, itself for what it is, but little problems I had with it that made it a 3 was things like that. I felt that, it's hard. I think it also plays to the fact that it's PG-13. They have to make it look more intense, even though certain things aren't as intense. Or is there a way of hiding some of the zombie faces? So don't make them as gruesome as they should be.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because some of those scenes where the zombies were getting people or catching them, I guess, were some of the shaky camera.
Yeah, that's
scenes.
Where most of the shaky camera is. When you see a lot of zombies, that's where they distort your vision a little, where you can't really see what exactly what's going on.
Obviously, it makes our mind work to a place where we put into our own minds what we think is happening in that scene. Whether or not it's happening or not, our mind kind of is predicting what's going to happen. And it's already... So in our heads, we see it, but it may not have even happened on the screen that way.
Yeah, so that's one of my biggest problems with is the shaky cam. And I feel like they use it in most of the zombie scenes to make it unclear what's happening and to distort their faces where you can't really see exactly how messed up they look. And the normal shots where it's not shaky and you get a lot of zombie action, it's very CG. Mm-hmm. Very CG. It's those scenes where they're climbing on top of each other and all.
Yeah.
And that's where you get a clear shot because it's so far away that you can't really see exactly how they look and their facial features. So when they do get close enough to show you the facial features, they shake it so you can't really see what's going on. It's, like I said, it's their way of keeping a certain rating. That's okay. What I think. They do explain the hive mentality they have. They kind of actually they don't really explain it, but they kind of do mention that they do have it. Like we do see a couple of scenes in which they pile on top of each other and knock stuff over and all this other stuff's going on.
Uh-huh.
And later on in the movie, they actually mentioned that if you kill one of the zombies, the other ones get upset or get more active.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of explains that they're all connected somehow. I wish they would have been fleshed out a little better.
I kind of missed... I remember the whole, if you kill one, they make them all upset. But I didn't really connect it like you did. So perhaps they should have.
Yeah, I feel like that. It could have been something they threw out there and didn't even mean for it to connect. I just put it together myself because I like to try to fill...
Connect the dots, huh?
Connect the dots or fill other movies' plot holes.
Oh.
That they didn't leave open for the audience because of bad writing or so. But I did actually feel like they should have brushed off a little more and like actually expanded a little more and made it more of the virus makes them have this hive mentality. So that way those scenes make a little bit more sense.
Yeah, well, yeah, especially if you're like used to previous zombie movies and that's where you get your understanding of what a zombie is.
Yeah.
So if anyone deviates from that script, it kind of throws you off. You're like, that's not what a zombie is supposed to do. Which is what I got because these zombies were really like aggressive. They were like smart and aggressive.
Yeah.
They were like jumping on things and climbing and jumping. I love this one scene. Are we talking about scenes now or can I?
I guess we get into spoiler territory.
It's not really a spoiler, but go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead with your the scene.
It was just a scene where there was a helicopter and there's a lot of helicopter airplane things.
There are a lot of shit just flying over the city.
A lot of flying. And like they were really smart enough to jump onto like the helicopter and stuff. And I'm like, when did zombies get that smart? They're not supposed to know what they're doing. These zombies knew what they were doing.
They were like fucking track runners. I mean,
they were really fast, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's still blurring the lines between, zombie and infected. Like I said before, it's still blurring the lines. Like, there are certain little... I feel like they should have went either or. They should have actually been zombies or they should have been just infected people. If they were infected people, I would have been perfectly fine with it. But let them get put down by getting shot or burnt or something, mm-hmm. If they're just spreading just a simple virus, then they should be able to be killed like regular
in
people.
In different ways, versus having to shoot them in the head.
Yeah. So that's one of the things, that's one of the biggest problems I have with it. And I just didn't know exactly what they were trying to go with it. And I just feel like it should have fleshed out exactly the rules of why they're the way they are.
Well, also, but think about it. In the movie, they were still trying to figure out. They were trying to figure out where Ground Zero was. Where did, patient zero. Who was patient zero? And they're trying to figure out where it came from. So maybe if you keep that in mind, then it's okay if that part hasn't been developed, because technically no one knows.
Yeah. So you gave it a 4, right?
Yes.
And I'm giving it a 3. All right. Mm-hmm. Now we're actually going into spoiler territory. So we're actually going to drop some spoilers. So if you're still interested in seeing the movie and you don't want to have anything ruined for you, please stop this podcast right now. Still here? Still around? All right, we fucking spoiled the movie now. I feel that Hollywood does not know how to write little girls or children. Have you noticed that? Why can't Hollywood write children? He has two daughters. The smallest one gets the most lines out of both of them.
The oldest one was the scariest of them all.
Yeah, and she just kind of like stayed quiet and minded her own business, while the young one has something to say all the time. And she came off annoying. I feel like kids in movies come off annoying. And I feel in real life, they're not that way.
Maybe because they're adults writing these scripts, and so they've lost touch with what it means to be a child.
Yeah.
But then you'll have people who will write, like, I don't know if you remember Dawson's Creek from back in the day.
I kind of remember.
I forgot who wrote it. It was some guy who writes a lot of teen movies. I just can't remember at the moment the author of it. But he wrote these teenagers as if they were, like, in their 20s. They had, like, finished college already. So it was kind of odd. Like, he was writing as if they were adults, which they weren't. So apparently, they either go one way or the other. It's very rare to find just a kid being a kid. So.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she didn't need any lines. She needed many lines of her being afraid and scared and screaming and wanted her fucking blanket in the middle of, like, this.
Which zombie apocalypse. Oldest one wanted the blanket, or was
the little one? All this is the little one. They get the little one the more lines than the older one. The older one was basically
quiet. She had asthma. She had an asthma attack. She didn't have her medicine, so she shouldn't have been talking that much anyway.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm perfectly fine with her shutting the fuck up and just letting the movie play out. But no, they have to make the little one. You know, I just feel like they don't know how to write kids. Hollywood. The same thing with teenagers. Every teenager has to rebel and get attitude at the wrong fucking moments. And I don't know. It's just like, if I didn't know any kids, and my only introduction to children were Hollywood films, I'm going to think they're just fucking awful. Just awful. Yeah, that's one of the problems I had with it. The little girl, I just don't really think that they gave her anything useful to do.
No, they didn't. Well, she found the gun.
Yeah.
That was helpful for a little bit.
That's fucking bad. She wouldn't just grab a gun, you know? It's like... Like, what are you doing, little girl? You don't need this.
She was supposed to be looking for something totally else, totally, like, random. And yeah. She picked up, Daddy, here. Like,
what the fuck? What the fuck? Why does she know what that is? That's bad parody.
And why would you... Yeah.
You're a little girl to know what a gun is.
Like, put that down.
How many times you probably fucking messed with that where it wasn't a zombie apocalypse or so? Was he... Okay, they take an RV. I can't remember if that was their RV or not.
No, they just found it.
So she just went through shit and just found a gun. Yeah. I thought that was their RV.
They were in a van. They were like their car, and they lost their car, and they just found it on the road.
They found it on the road. Because I remember she went straight to it. Like, she knew exactly where the fuck it was. In this RV she's never been in before. Yeah. So that's why I was thinking maybe it was theirs. Be sure they took it? Because they did take it.
No, because they were driving to wherever they were going. I guess school. Down this downtown Philadelphia. Yeah. And then shit hit the fan. And then they couldn't drive anymore, and they were just walking. They ran into that RV that was there.
Okay, yeah. So it's kind of weird for her to know exactly where the gun is.
Well, it was. I mean, I guess it was a plot device because he used that gun, but it was kind of.
And he never reloaded.
there was no point. Like, it didn't really. It was a device she used because he needed to use the gun at some future part in the movie, so go ahead and grab it. We'll have her find it.
Yeah, just have her find it. Just not let her search for it. Just let her go straight to it.
Yeah. Like, she's supposed to be looking for something totally different. I can't remember what it was.
I don't think she was even looking for anything. I think she just went and got it by herself.
It was just like unexpected. Like, oh, there's a gun. Yeah. I guess because we live in Texas, somebody had to laugh in the audience. So.
Yeah. Which happened later on in the movie, actually. Later on, I feel like by the end of the movie, a lot of people didn't take it serious anymore.
They were laughing. And appropriate times. I'm not there yet, because that's towards the end, but it was like, I don't think this is a comedy. Yeah. Anyway.
But that was one of the things I was like, what the fuck? They can't write children for some reason. That's difficult. His reasoning for doing the thing was, you know, he got shelter with the UN, which I think is pretty cool. The UN steps in, which is always America doing stuff.
Well, the UN doesn't have any power to do anything, so this is kind of funny that they did at this moment. Yeah. They really don't.
So it was kind of cool to see that happen. And then you know, they take his family to shelter. They're with the military, and they're just basically saying, okay, you're going to help us, or we're going to toss your family out to the streets and shit. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he's going to go out there and help them. That's a good motivation to do so.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and there's one point in which they think he dies, and just fucking toss his family. Actually, no, they don't.
They think he died, but they were still trying to be, well, I guess, respectful.
They took them to some kind of, like, safety spot.
Refugee camp,
but that's probably still not safe.
Yeah, but before all that...
Yeah.
I want to talk about the scientist doctor guy.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh. That pissed me off.
I was like, what?
Okay, for our listeners, they set up a scientist, a brilliant 23-year-old scientist, right?
Professor at Harvard.
Yeah.
Harvard.
That he has, he knows, well, he has an idea of what it may be, or he has ideas of what it
yeah,
may
like
be.
Where to go to find out, because of an email that was sent from South Korea. He's like, we got to go there because this is our first information about this pandemic disease or whatever. So we'll go there. That was his plan.
Yeah, and the first thing that happens, he shoots himself in the head, right?
Okay, let's set this up. Because there's a really cool scene. Then we'll get to how he dies. But there's a really cool scene where he's... To me, probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Which is when he talks about Mother Nature comparing her to a serial killer. Like, the greatest serial killer. And I wish I could, like, have, like, transcribed word for word for what he said. I'm sure I can find it online. But he was comparing Mother Nature to a serial killer.
Basically how she wants to get caught.
Yeah, and how, like, and she does this all the time. Like, she has to do this, and that's true. If you look at it that way, then it's very much true. She is like a serial killer, because every so often you have these pandemics, you have natural disasters, and people die.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it was a really good metaphor for Mother Nature. And
I saw that scene, and I heard his dialogue. I was like, wow, they really made this guy deep. They're going to do some serious stuff with this guy.
But you know what did help Brad Pitt's character out, though? He did listen. But I really want to, because there's a whole, like, Inferno by Dan Brown, the book that's, like, really awesome, the guy that did Da Vinci Code, talks about how, because of overpopulation, we need to get rid of a certain amount of people, and how plagues is Mother Nature fixing itself, you know, getting back to homeostasis, getting back to that sort of plateau where everything can survive in balance.
Yeah.
And so that's why you have, like, the Spanish flu of 18, whatever, that they talked about. 1918. All these different pandemics and stuff that occur that kills, like, you know, hundreds and thousands of people. But how some people believe that's needed for a population to be in balance.
Population control?
Yeah. I mean, some people believe that. So it's interesting that in this movie, they talk about Mother Nature being a serial killer and how... you're right about the part how it she shows us her weaknesses and how to sort of, I guess, combat it, if you will. Yeah. That's the part about looking for the weakness, or looking for the, kind of like the unexpected thing you're looking at. You think it's like the strength, but there's a weakness in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a really deep moment. It was really what I was like, wow, this movie is going someplace, and there's a scientist, and yay, science, that's fun, and... Yeah, but then we should have knew what was going to happen when Brad Pitt goes, take your finger off the trigger.
Yeah, he gives him a gun, tells him to take his finger off the trigger, and they sent their team to basically protect him. One of my favorite lines is Brad Pitt tells him that the soldiers are basically hammers.
And keep your eyes open. See your nails.
Keep your eyes open, because only hammers see his nails. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to describe the military. But so basically... When the shit is the fan, as soon as they land in Korea...
What happened? I can't remember right now.
As soon as they land in Korea, after his dialogue about the whole Mother Nature being a serial killer and all, they land in Korea, they open up the hatch, they come out, they immediately get attacked by zombies, they ward them off and start shooting.
Okay.
And the guy tries to run back into the plane, slips, and shoots himself in the head. And I'm like, really? Did this just happen? No, it's like they flew this guy all the way out to Korea for him to kill himself. After saying how important he is, he killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved for him to just got bitten, infected, something like that. Was it supposed to shock us?
No, because random shit happens all the time. And so maybe this is one of those random things that you just shake your head at. And you're like, I can't believe this happened. But in life, things happen. Mother Nature, it can be random. So maybe this is another random moment.
It did feel like they made such a big deal about him. And then they gave him some great dialogue. And then he shoots himself. And like, they just move on from it. Like, after he kills himself and then he talks to the military that's there at the base. They're like, well, who's that guy? He was like, oh, he was supposed to fix things, but he shot himself in the head. And they're like, well, fuck that guy. Just
they
move really, on.
They literally, it was just like, okay, well, next. Like, yeah, that's just, too bad. Yeah. Moving on.
Just move on from it. You know?
Well, Brad Pitt felt some kind of way.
Well, because he had great dialogue with him before he blew his own fucking brains out. But it feels like they didn't.
Well, that would have made it more of a pandemic movie, having that scientist there.
Yeah, it would have been cool.
But for whatever reason, I don't know if having not read the books, I don't know.
Okay, let me tell you a little bit of history of this movie. I didn't want to see this movie originally when I first started seeing the trailers and all. Because I knew some of the history of it. One piece of the history of it is they started filming this movie years ago. And they found problems with the script. They had to rewrite the script a couple of times in the middle of filming. There were big plot holes in it. You know, so after viewing the movie, I am seriously surprised at how good it actually turned out. I thought it was going to be a clusterfuck. If you look at the background, how this movie was made, I thought it was going to seriously be a clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure, maybe that was their way of writing him out somehow, or changing the script. Maybe, you know, it's who knows why they did it. But the whole thing is they were filming and they were changing the script on the spot. They were rewriting stuff on the spot. Plot holes galore. So I'm just glad it turned out at least as decent as it did.
Okay.
Which is a big shot because I've seen movies before that actually went through issues during development that turned out to be garbage. But who knows, you know? One movie that had like only a few months to film and a script riddled with plot holes and issues turned out to be a good movie called X-Men First Class. So who knows? You know, it depends on the director if he can make it work or not. But maybe that's part of rewriting and changing stuff, you know, like that. But it was just a big downer for me.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, it felt like we just wasted time. It felt like he was there.
Like he was just a tool. He was a tool
to give him the career.
Yeah, give him the career. Give him to have this metaphor about Mother Nature, and that's all he was good for. Which you would think would be absurd because this guy who has all this knowledge would be helpful, but not really.
Yeah. You think
Mother Nature, the serial killer. Okay, thank you. Your job is done. Exit left. Like
you think you know how to put the safety on? They could at least show them.
But how did he? I'm not even. That doesn't make any sense. How did he fall on the gun? The gun shot. I don't even understand.
It's extremely. I don't know. Falling down. I fell down holding stuff in my hand a couple of times. I think it'd be extremely difficult to slip and fall and shoot yourself in the head.
Are we sure he shot himself in the head?
In the head, he blew his own brains out.
Okay, whatever.
I don't understand that, but you know, whatever. It's movie logic.
Okay, so what else?
What are the spoilers in the movie? Let's get to the end of the movie.
Wait, before we get to the end then, so you're already at the end of the movie.
Actually, no, let's not just talk about the bad things about the movie. That really good scene. It feels like the best scenes in the movie, because the first really good scene was when they're in the hallway of this building, apartment building, they're waiting for the helicopter to come to pick them up.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a little bit of suspense. I actually got a good jump from the crowd and all in that mm-hmm. scene.
It did. I jumped a couple of times in this movie.
Yeah, it feels like the more quiet scenes, which they're in the dark or they have to do something, they have to avoid the disease, as they call them, sort of. We have to avoid them. It seems like it's a better movie than when they're just running out in the open.
Well, the whole, I mean, speaking, okay, this has been the part that I want to talk about is when they went to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I felt the way that was, I guess, designed was really good, like, yeah. Visually. And also, I really like the character of the Israeli soldier, the female soldier.
Yeah.
I wish, because actually when I saw her role in it, I'm like, this movie is pretty decent towards women, because his wife, he's married, he has kids. His wife, like, all she did was pretty much worry.
Yeah, which what a wife would do during any kind of issue.
She has 2.5 kids or whatever now to deal with. Like, she can't just be, like, on the phone trying to call him or just worrying. And it was just like, you have children that are, like, with you. Like, do something else besides worry. And so I was like, and the reason why that even popped in my head is because we saw this Israeli woman soldier who was,
yeah,
a badass pretty much and protecting him and hanging with him, like, you know, the rest of the movie and stuff. So you got to see it, women's you had to see them more than one dimension. So I really liked her character.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that for whatever reason they chose to have this woman kind of protect him and escort him out of, you know, Jerusalem and wherever they were going. So I thought it was really interesting.
And just for the cross, she loses a hand, her left hand, I think, right?
Yes.
And she's still a badass. You know, she's missing a hand and she's still kicking ass.
Yes, I really liked her character. I just like what it showed, like, okay, women aren't just literally waiting by the phone, but they're able to, you know, protect themselves and protect others and fight off zombies/sick people, whatever they are. So
yeah,
that part was good. I felt they made a good balance, so it wouldn't just, like, the only thing women do are just wait and worry and, you know, be annoying. So,
but going back to the hallway scene, because I'm going to bring up something else dealing with, you know, him taking on another kid. So the hallway scene they have, which is they meet another family, and they go and they live with that family for a brief moment. I guess for like probably a day.
Overnight.
Mm-hmm. And they decide to leave the family because, you know, the helicopter's picking them up.
They didn't decide to leave the family.
But they want to take the family with them. The family rather stay.
The dad wanted to stay.
Yeah, the mother knew better.
But apparently,
she paid for it in the end. They have a son. And it's just like the mother, the father, and the son, right?
Right.
I guess the mother and father get infected and the son escapes and Brad Pitt takes him with him. I thought it was kind of cool because later on when he's about to go on his mission, him and the son already have like a secret handshake they're already doing. I like that. Like, how did they bond that fast when they have their own handshake they're
doing? Bro code. You just know.
It's just a standard issue bro shake, I guess.
But it was kind of, well, it was just funny now thinking about that because that's pretty much what Brad Pitt did when he married Angelina Jolie. He just took all her children. They're now his, too. They're Jolie Pitts. So, yeah, he's used to just taking on children, you know.
They all know the secret, like, the Pitt handshake. The Jolie Pitt handshake they have going on. I know you thought that. Like, here he goes, picking up another minority.
He's really comfortable with that. So.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And am I going to hate on, you know, any of his kids? I would love to be a Jolie Pitt. That would be fun.
More power to him, you know. Take, like, poor babies and shit.
This kind will give you a better life.
Yeah. Dress him up all snappy.
So yeah, now they have a Hispanic child as well.
Yeah. We just watched his parents get shot in the head by the military. So, and he's fine with it.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, it doesn't bother him not one bit.
Nope, he's just part of the family now.
Yeah, he's like, well, that happened. Fuck them. I got a new family now. Because, you know, it doesn't affect him at all. He's not one scene.
No tears, no looking despondent or just, you know, having a tantrum. He's just like, oh, okay, we're going.
To go straight into it, because now I'm putting more thought into it. To go straight into it, when Brad Pitt and his family leave the little boy's family, they're attacked in the hallway. His family's already attacked. You know, they're already fucking dead. Brad Pitt's getting attacked. His family's kind of got away. They're already on the roof, I think. So Brad Pitt's left behind. So not only did the little boy get away from his family being attacked and his mom and dad, but he learned how to shoot by that time. Because remember, he shoots the zombie.
That sure is right. Where did he get the gun from?
And he shoots the zombie dead in the head, one shot. So he's already got his shooting down.
That was his initiation. He's not part of the family.
Yeah, so he's like, all right, I got you, bro. blows the brains out of a zombie.
But I guess it's New Jersey. It's the projects. In New Jersey, so of course there's a gun. Of course, we don't have to ask where the gun came from.
Yeah, so he already knows how to handle it and shit.
Yeah, he's like a little brown kid in New Jersey. He's know how to handle
it. Yeah, so one shot kills a zombie in the head from far away. And then they take him on, they shoot his parents down. He doesn't shed a tear. Doesn't even acknowledge them.
I'm going to pretend that he didn't see it. That he was looking at the helicopter and not back at his dad
getting shot. But regardless, he knows they've already been infected.
So there's a whole new world now, you know.
Yeah, he's like, fuck all that. It's just not one tear ever shed by him. They, you know, he already knows the handshake, so they're just bros already.
Yeah,
he was just ready to leave. He was ready to leave that family.
Oh my god,
he was totally late. He was like, just give me a fucking reason. I'm out of here.
Oh god,
he was. That's the only way I can think of it, for him to be that down with Brad Pitt that fast and be able to use a gun and just not care about his family dying at all or being affected.
He's in shock. I'm sure it will hit him at a later date.
Not with a handshake like that. He was totally down. He was totally down with the new family. He was ready to leave that family.
Fine.
He was like, deuces, bros.
Get me out the projects.
Yeah, he was like, man, they did nothing for me. I'm trying to go to college, man.
Oh, God. Anyway.
All right, so now we are finally getting to the end of the movie. At the end of the movie, we get a little bit more zombie action where they're in close quarters. It's kind of smaller and they have to sneak around the zombies. And by this time, we know what not really the cure, but we know sort of like some kind of remedy is. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to describe it. Which, by the way, I spotted already. I knew they show it two times.
Yeah, but I didn't know. Like, I didn't know why. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, earlier in the movie, they show like an older man kind of standing still. He can't really move as fast, and the zombies are running past him. They're paying him no mind. And then later on, they show like a thin, balding, sick looking kid,
uh-huh.
And he crouches down, afraid, and the zombies run around him. I knew for the first time, seeing the old man, that there was something wrong. I was like, man, there's something dealing with their blood. There's something dealing with maybe certain blood types, or maybe there's something dealing with certain people which the zombies don't attack them for some reason. And seeing the little kid later on confirmed it for me, that certain people don't get attacked. And it took Brad Pitt way later in the movie to figure it out for some reason.
Well, because he's being chased by all this stuff. But he remembers it.
He remembers later on. But the little kid crouching down, terrified, and zombies are running past him, it made me remember, like, wait a minute, that was in a fucking TV spot. That was in a fucking trailer. They're telling you, like, what's going on in the movie through the TV spot and trailer. They give you a spoiler within it.
The thing about it, maybe because for me, the camera work, I couldn't tell that there was zombies running past. I thought it was just people.
It was hard to tell.
So I couldn't tell who was running past them.
Yeah, the Parkinson's cameraman. Just
yeah, so...
That's really good.
God.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell who, you know, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, so, turns out, if you're already sick or died or something, or infected with something else that may affect your health, the zombies don't want to fuck with you. Basically, because they consider you.
Because it goes back to science into the, I think the guy who was killed, freak gun accident.
Yeah.
When he talks about, how did he put it?
That Mother Nature gives you hints sometimes.
Yeah, and it's like the thing that you think is a strength, there's actually weakness there and stuff. So you think, oh, they're attacking people and then people turn. But then you think that's the strength, I guess, of the pathogen of the zombies. But you realize, oh, when they don't attack this person, there's the weakness there. The weakness is weakness.
Yeah, the fact that they're already dying. They need someone strong and healthy.
They need a strong host.
Yeah.
I like science.
So it was pretty cool, you know, the idea of that. But, you know, throwing more science into it makes them less zombie-like and more into just being affected.
But maybe the whole zombie thing is simply a metaphor.
Maybe.
Or something deeper.
I don't know. I just don't think they had the shit together on that.
Okay.
But yeah, but at the end, when they discover that, and they're actually... Brad Pitt actually affects himself.
So with God knows what.
Yeah, God knows
what. They're like, oh, I hope he didn't get the stuff from the left side of the... Like, what's in there? Yeah. And I'm like, don't they label... Like, shouldn't they label, like, tuberculosis and syphilis and HIV? Like, shouldn't they label what the things
they're,
are?
They're probably using bigger scientific words that his military mind cannot
but
understand.
But I was looking, and I didn't see anything. I just they probably have, like, codes. Like, 3759 is... I can't think of a disease.
Well, now the movie ends with Brad Pitt saving the day, but now HIV positive.
That's not funny. No, she shot him. The young lady shot him back with something. So he was inoculated with whatever he inoculated himself with.
Yeah.
I don't know. But so he's fine. Brad Pitt's still lovely. Brad Pitt.
But at the end of the movie, like run at time. I know there's a crowd we were seeing it.
Oh my God. Okay.
They started laughing at
things.
You gotta
talk about the Who scene. There's a Who location in England, which is where the Brad Pitt comes to the realization of how to stop, you know, the zombie apocalypse or whatever's happening. So he's in the room. There's a vaulted room where you keep these deadly pathogens because they're deadly.
Yeah.
And so Brad Pitt's in there, and this one doctor zombie comes, and he's trying to get to him, but he's, you know, Brad Pitt is within his enclosed room.
Yeah, I guess like I won't say sterilized away from everyone, but
definitely concealed to the because you don't want it to escape. So yeah, he's sealed up and whatever. And so this Dr. Zombie is there trying to get to him, and he does this thing like Ice in that movie with the Top Gun, where he like does his teeth like I can't. Where he like he chops them down really fast. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know another way to phrase it. But he makes a sound with his teeth like I'm gonna bite you.
Like chattering teeth.
Yes. And everyone starts laughing so hard. I'm like, oh my God, I don't think this is a comedy at this moment.
It wasn't that. Like, even before that, because some of them are making these pterodactyl sounds. Like, ah!
Right? But that was, I didn't know what, I don't.
It was like, I was like, what the fuck
are you doing? I thought it was a zombie making the sound.
It was, but it was like they were making these, like the zombies were making these weird, like they were impersonating pterodactyls. It was terrible. And there was one zombie, because the way the zombies move, they move very tickish, I guess, and they move their body real jerky, and it was just weird looking the way they move. They're always constantly moving and shaking.
And they're violently shaking.
But yeah.
Really,
converging? Yeah.
Convulsion, but they're really violent. Yeah. They're like, they call them aggressive. Like, didn't they use the word aggressive or aggression? Like, they have aggression, they called it. Yeah. Someone in the beginning of the movie was like calling it aggression.
Yeah, and one of them, I almost laughed at, because they were trying to sneak past them. And the crowd started laughing at him eventually, but I almost laughed at him because the way he was moving, the actor, you know, he was trying to pop lock. I'm like, the zombie is pop locking on screen. He's doing an amazing job of it too.
Oh, God.
I was just waiting for him to go down and like, just start just breakdancing. Just abandon the role and just go straight to it. It was an older Caucasian guy. And he was just pop-locking. It wasn't he, right? Making pterodactyl sounds and pop-locking. And I'm like, oh, my. It was hard not to laugh. It was hard to take that serious.
I laughed because it's true. But,
You remember him just pop locking in his white coat?
Was that the one where they had to like sneak by him on the ground?
Yeah, that sneak by him. He'll pop lock to turn around, take a look, you know, look over his shoulder to go back to pop locking. It was just ridiculous, and that had me. I wanted to laugh so bad because you know, he's like, you know, pop locking, moving his arms. You know, I know where.
Goodness. They were really aggressive movement. They weren't like the slow zombies, you know. Yeah. They were very active, aggressive zombies, so that's true.
But overall I like the movie. I think it's a 3. It's not bad. It's not a bad movie. I would like for it to be a little bit more fleshed out. Mm-hmm. And you know, the ending actually wasn't. A lot of people had problems with the ending. I did look up reviews on it before. I didn't read anything that was spoilerish. So I knew nothing about going into the movie, but I know people said they didn't like the ending. And finally seeing the ending, it felt like it was more of a setup for a sequel than anything.
For sure, like I liked the ending because it wasn't like one of those stereotypical save the day and we all get to go home happy. It was like, you know, they're like, the world will never be the same. And, you know, we almost like we won this battle, but not the war type thing. And
yeah, but they literally say that in the movie, too.
Did it? Okay. There you go. And I liked the fact that, I mean, I hope there's time for them to figure out what happened. Hopefully, I guess if they want to flesh out the story, they actually can be like, hey, what exactly happened and how can we really stop it?
Yeah, because the movie ends with them not really solving exactly what happened, what the outbreak was. But they figure out if you inject yourself with some kind of
disease,
they won't fuck with you. And it kind of like they synthesize some kind of like serum, which is like, I guess it doesn't make you sick anymore. Like it doesn't kill you, but it does have the same effects of having the disease.
Yeah.
So it gives the military upper hand that the zombies won't fuck with them, so they can go out there and kill them.
So I think there's a whole lot of zombies. That's the problem, though. Like you saw them burning them. They were like much more than The Walking Dead, where you just have like, you know, piles of them. You had like mountains.
Yeah, well, zombies. Well, I think the whole message they're trying to say is they couldn't solve exactly what it was to cure it, but they found a way to give them a fight edge where they could probably wipe out the zombies that's there without getting more made. I guess if there's no more made and they wipe out all of them, then that's technically winning.
I guess so.
But it is a war. You know, World War Z does end with...
There you go. Yeah,
it's a big war at the very end. We really come down to it. We saw the beginning of what could be a bigger film for the next movie. But what I like about it, they kind of show how things are changing at the very end of it. It doesn't give you a definitive ending. And Brad Pitt's story kind of ends with this movie, sort of. Unless they bring him back for a sequel just because.
Well, I want to talk about character. That for a second.
Yeah.
About Brad Pitt as an action star, I guess. This is what this kind of is. And I thought that he did really well, though. I think that they could bring him back. I think that...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he's Brad Pitt. He looks great on screen. So I think they could bring him back for something. Because he does have knowledge. He's been, you know, in these war zones and stuff. And working all sorts of, you know, with the military. So he...
Yeah, he's a military soldier. He was a military soldier before this happened.
He worked for the UN. He did something where he was like a... These hot spots of like global
contamination war. Stuff. He's dealt with this before. Yeah.
Had, you know, ethnic cleansing, and he was in somewhere in Africa and somewhere this place and that place. So he's been around the world in these hot spots. So it'd be, I mean, I would like to see him again. I'd like to see them flesh it out more because it's kind of like, yeah. I just want to know what happened, basically.
Yeah, I mean, his thing was he was doing it because they asked him to, and he wanted his family to be safe. Now that he's actually did something really big to give the human race a fighting chance.
Yeah.
He's really no longer needed, but they can also find another reason for him to go out there and do it again.
It's Hollywood, of course.
They can. Yeah, but you know, I feel like a sequel could be made with or without him. I would like for him to be a part of it because I like continuity, but it could be a totally different soldier how they're dealing with it or whatever.
Or maybe Tommy grows up, the little boy that they've adopted, and maybe he.
Yeah, he remembers growing up.
They
in a project.
They killed my father.
like they killed my father, but you know what? It's cool. I'm fine. I got a new one like 5 minutes later, bro. And we had a handshake going on everything.
Yeah, so.
You talking about I use a gun more effectively than, you know, just headshots like I was doing already in the hood? You know, I like the idea of a sequel. I like it. And I hate when movies actually set up for a sequel. Like, they make one movie expecting to make a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that movie fails, then there's no franchise. Like a movie like Jumper. They set up for a franchise and didn't resolve everything. So now we just have a movie that doesn't resolve everything.
Mm.
And there are other movies out there like that. I can name a bunch of them. But I feel like this movie, it shows the beginning of something bigger. But if they never make another World War Z, just knowing that now we have a fighting chance, I guess it's good enough. But you just kind of like jump ahead in your mind and just think, if everyone's vaccinated, they can eventually wipe out everyone in time. Wipe out the zombies in time.
Yeah.
So we don't need to see when it happens, but we know it's going to happen eventually. So I thought it was pretty good. But, you know, I enjoyed the movie. Could have been fleshed out a little more. It has some issues, but as far as, like, the problems they had while making the movie, it came out far better than what I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I did enjoy it. There's not really any boring moments in the movie. But I do think the PG-13 rating did kind of make them have to work around the zombie aspect of eating flesh and all this other stuff. And that kind of made it kind of silly sometimes when dealing with the massive CG moments of the zombies compared to like the more intimate moments with the zombies that made it kind of more laughable at times.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I gave it a 4 because I felt it was good. I enjoyed it. I agree. There really weren't any boring parts to it and stuff. It wasn't a perfect movie, but I feel like it was good enough to where, like, I don't regret paying to go see it or anything like that. And it was good for what it was. I think it came out in a good time because zombies are really popular now. So if you put a zombie in your movie, then people are going to go see it.
Yeah, we just had a movie with a zombie love story going on. That was recently released, so even that can't escape teen romance. Well, I guess we both agree. You give it a 4, I give it a 3, but we both agree that we actually would want to see a sequel in the future.
Yes.
Okay. That's all time for today's show. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Please rate and review us. Subscribe to us through iTunes. Check out our blog at jimsmoviesandjunk.blogspot.com. Please check out our Tumblr. We're also available on YouTube. We got a few YouTube videos up. Please check that out. Rate the reviews as well. I'm Notorious J.I.M.
And I'm Megan.
I bid you a good day.